Okay, Rabos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Yud Dalid. And we are here. Well, where are we going to start? Because we're in the middle of a conversation, right? We had quoted a brisa that seemed to. The Gemara had said that it's a stira, right, on Rabbi Lazar in one area of one of his opinions, and on Shmuel by two. Then it went up to quote the brisa, and then it quoted a couple problems with Rabbi Lazar, and then we pointed out at the end of yesterday. At the end of yesterday's daf, that it was actually two kashas on Rabbi Lazar, and the Gemara had gone out of its way to say that it was one kasha. So the Gemara is going to explain why it's one kasha, but I guess just to, again, we could chazer the whole thing. It's really on the majority of daf Yud Gimel. So let's just start with six or seven lines up in Yud Gimel base. You have to drop Rabbi Lazar v'chada, because the Gemara kind of spells out and chazers for us a little bit. Right? Gemara doesn't always do that, but let's do that, and then you know we'll pick it up real quick, really on the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, but let's just grab those six lines very quickly. So again, the brisa was a tiyuv to the Rabbi Lazar bechada. Let's just read that. Yeah, six lines up. Tiyuv to the Rabbi Lazar bechada. How do you know? Right? In what sense? To Amar, because he holds the Rabbi Meir starts in bo achrayis inu gova menechazim mishabadim velo menechazim bnei chorin. Right? If you remember, Rabbi Meir, there were two ways to understand the Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Right? Rabbi Lazar said that according to Rabbi Meir, if you have a shtar that does not have achrayis, does not have a lien, so then you can't collect from either nechaz mishabadim, from property that you sold and had a lien on it, or from regular cash, available property. V'ka'amar, and he had said also, bein Rabbi Meir, bein Rabbanan, lo chashini l'kuninya, right, we're not concerned that there's going to be some sort of scam, that really the loan was paid back, right, and the buyer and the seller, or the borrower and the loan lender are working together, like he's going to collect the land from somebody else, and they're going to split it, right, we're not worried about that scam. But it said in the brisa that shtar she'in bo achrayis nechazim, if a shtar does not have a chayes nechazim, mishabdi hudul gavi, you're not allowed to collect from properties with a lien, but hamid b'nechorin migva gavi, but you are allowed to collect from, let's say, cash or whatever he has on hand. V'katani, and we also learned that ben the Rabbi Meir ben the Rabbanu chashin l'kenunya, that we are concerned for kenunya, that we're concerned for this scam. V'katani, because we taught in the brisa, avol pishishneim modim lo yachzer lo v'zev lo l'zeh, right? Even though both the borrower and the lender agree that the loan is owed, right? We still don't return the shtar because we're concerned that really they paid it back and they're trying to scam the guy who bought property off the borrower, right? Because now he's going to be able to go get it and they can split the land. So Alma, apparently, what do you see? Chashin l'kenunya. We are concerned for a scam. So now this is where we kind of left off. But the problem is, we said it's one steer against every lezer, and we just counted two, right? Va honey tarti who, right? Those are two. Kashin Zerah Belazer. So my answer is Tapi Yedalim and Aleph. Really Chadahu. Right? It's really one answer. Tichad Tamu, because there's really one reason. What's the basis of these Rabbi Lazar's divergent shitas? The Shim to Kama Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar holds that Machlokas b'she'in Chayiv Modeh. Right? If you remember, we had two possibilities: either the Machlokas is b'Chayiv Modeh, where the guy admits that he owes the money, or b'ein Chayiv Modeh, where he doesn't admit that he owes the money. Since Rabbi Lazar learns it and says that it's ein Chayiv Modeh, right? So then, who mitaritzachi? Because that leads to all of his understandings of the Machlokasim, and that's why there's a stira in Rabbi Lazar. That's why we said it's one stira, right, and not two. Now we go on to Shmuel. You have to Shmuel b'tarti. This knocks out Shmuel's shita. If you remember from yesterday, if you don't, right, go in Chazer, because again, it's going to take too long to go through the whole thing. Right, Chada kid Rabbi Lazar. First of all, we have the steers of Rabbi Lazar, the Hamokim Asnizim B'Shein Chayiv Modeh, right, because he also holds that the Mishnah is where the guy does not admit to owing the money. V'chada, and another one, Damar Shmuel, Matzah Shtar HaKana B'Shuk Yachzer L'Bailim. Right, Velochashin the Peron. Right, again, because Shmuel holds that if you find a shtar k'na, right, we had that yesterday, if you remember, right, it's a shtar that says that there's a lien that starts on the borrower's property from right now, even though perhaps the loan will be in a month from now or whatever, right, the lien starts right now. So if you find that you give it back, right, and we're not concerned, right, that the guy paid it back, right, we give it to the lender. We're not concerned that the guy paid it back, and we're going to, Shmuel says you should give it back. And so that's Tiyufta. So against that Shita, right, the Brisa is against that Shita, the Katani Hacha, because it says in the Brisa, Ava Pishashneh Modim Lo Yachzer Lo Vzeh Lo Vzeh, right, Al Machashin Le Peron. Again, we don't give it back if you find that Shtar, because apparently we're concerned that he paid it back. But Kol Shekein, and certainly Hacha, the Lo Modim Lo Vzeh, certainly over here, right, where the borrower does not admit, right, Jain Chayv Modim, right, the Chashin Le Peron, certainly, right, we're concerned that the guy paid it back, and really there's a scam going on over here. Okay, so Amar Shmuel, now, my time I about it. Now again, we had said yesterday, right, if you remember, the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that if you find a shtar chov, right, it doesn't say anything about a lien, right? Doesn't mention, right, that the inbo achrayz nechazim, right? There's no lien on it. Still, the lender can get property, right? It's as if it does have a lien, right? It's as if it does have a lien, and therefore we don't return it to either one, because really the lender could collect from the chasim mishubadim, from property that had been sold by the lender, etc., by the borrower, etc. So why in the world would chachamim, right, say that that's true? If there's no written explicit lien on the shtar, why would they say it's as if there is a lien on the shtar? What does that mean? Where do we get that from? That's what we explained yesterday. We mentioned it, but the Shmuel explains that sovri achrayas tos soverhu, that if achrayas nachasim, if there's no lien, right, that must be a mistake of the scribe, right, of the sofer, the guy who wrote the shtar. Right, there's no way anybody would lend, you know, real money without a lien, right, on his property. Amar le Rava bar Iti le Rav Idi bar Avin. Amar Shmuel hachi. The Shmuel really say this. Amar Shmuel shvach shvar and vishibud. Right, all of those tzarich limloch. That for those three things, right, the guy writing the shtar needs to ask, right, the parties, right, probably the seller, right, or the before he writes it in. Shvach, which we're going to get onto today a little bit, is that if the guy improves the field and then the field gets taken away by, let's say, a lien or whatever, does get paid back for the shvach? Meaning, is he obligating himself to pay, let's say, the guy he sold it to who improved the field? Right, does that guy who is now losing the field, does he get paid back for those improvements? Shvar is like whether he pays him back from Idis, from the best types of property, if he has to pay for it. And then Shibud, and also that's just straight up if there's a lien, right? That's literally Shibud, right? Shibud Nechazim, right? That there's an Achrayis there. So apparently that's against, Shmuel can't have said both of those things, right? Because he said the Shibud is something that, right, he asks for. But before Shmuel said, according to the Chachamim, that Achrayis Taros Soferhu, right? That if you don't have a lien on the property, it was a mistake. But here we're telling me that whether you want a lien on your property is one of the questions that the guy writing the shtar asks. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kam b'shtar halva, right? What, if it's a shtar halva, whether it's a loan, so then the lo yoiv inish zuzi b'chdi, right? So the person's not going to give his money away for nothing, right? The person's going to make sure you loan him $100,000, right? You're going to make sure, right, that there's a lien on your property, right, on his property, so you can get stuff back. But Kan, where you don't have a lien necessarily, that's Mecha Chumamkar, that's by buying something. Right, the Avinish is Avin Arliome, because it could be that someone will buy something, even if it's for a few days, even if he's going to lose it because there's a lien on it or whatever. I mean, he may not necessarily write, you know, some sort of achraya, some sort of guarantee on that purchase. Okay, kiahi davu barihi. Sure enough, like what happened to davu barihi, right? The zovin alisa me'achte. He bought an apartment from his sister, and asa balchov and tarva minei. Sure enough, his sister owed somebody money, and a balchov, someone she owed money to, took it away from him. So asa kamei to Mar Shmuel. So he went to Mar Shmuel, right? I Shmuel. Right, yeah. Amar lei, he said to him, "Kos v'lach achrayis, is there any achrayis in the shtar?" So Amar lei, lo. He said, "Nope." So Amar lei, he said, "Imkain, if that's true, zivlo shalma, right? Shalma lechem, teichem the shalom. See you later. There's nothing I can do for you." So Amar lei, v'amar damar achrayis tos over you. But he came to him. Who was it? Avu Abari came to Shmuel. He's like, "I came to you for a reason. You're the one who says achrayis tos over, that if there's no achrayis in the shtar, it's a mistake, and there has to be achrayis." So Gemara says, Amar lei, he said that. So Shmuel said back to him, "Hey, honey, mili b'shtar halva." Yeah, that's exactly the split we just made. That's only by a loan. B'shtar mecha chumem kar lo, right? But not mecha chumem kar. Not if there's a sale. Right? David inish is aben ar liyom, because sometimes people buy land in a day. Okay. Amar Abaye says, now we're gonna have a bunch of different discussions about achrayis and shibud nechasim and the different types of different halachas revolving around that. So Amar Abaye says, Ruvin shemachar sodah l'Shimon b'achrayis. Ruvin sells a field to Shimon with a lien and guarantee. Ubal balchov de Ruvin, where v'katar v'le minei. And sure enough, right, someone that Ruvin owed money to comes and takes the field away from Shimon. So dinahu d'azel Ruvin u'mishtai dinei behedya. Ruvin, right, again, is allowed to go and fight with the guy he owes money to, and just try and stop him from getting the field, etc. He can be in Beis Din. He can say that maybe he already paid him or whatever. Like, he can kind of try and make sure that Shimon doesn't lose his field. And the guy trying to take the field from Shimon can't tell Reuven, "You have nothing to do with me. You're right, you're not a baldover here, right?" Because Reuven can say back to Mifkas Minei, right, Alai Didi Hader, because he's gonna be, what do you mean? Reuven's gonna be like, "Well, what do you mean? If you take the field away from Shimon, he's gonna come back to me." And he's coming back to me, you know, and try and get paid back and try and get reimbursed. And so therefore, Reuven certainly is involved in the court case. Ikidamri, some people say, Afilu shelo b'achrayis nami, even if there's no achrayis, meaning that Shimon can't go back to Reuven and get his money back. Damarle, because, and even in that case, we're going to say that Reuven, right, can be involved in the court case, because he could say, lo nichad de lahavi Shimon, taramasalai. He could say, well, I don't want Shimon to have any tainas on me. Right, I don't want to, so Reuven can come and kind of argue the case. Let's say Reuven is more eloquent. He's a lawyer, right? He knows what he's doing, right? So he can be involved in the court case, even though he's really not involved monetarily. But he can say that I don't want Shimon, right, to hate me for this, right? Because even though he blew it by not getting some sort of guarantee or some sort of lien, right, or some sort of, you know, promise to pay back, still, right, Reuven can be involved in the court case. Fem Rabbi Abai says as well, Reuven shemachar sada to Shimon shelo b'achrayis. Again, Reuven sells a field to Shimon, no achrayis, no lien, no guarantee. Now people come and claim that it was actually never Reuven's. So what happens? If Shimon didn't yet have a chazaka, didn't take possession of it, so then Yachal Achsebo, right? He can go back, right? If you look at Rashi, Shlomo Matan Maos, he doesn't have to pay for it, right? He can get out of the deal. Misha Hichzigbo, but if he did a chazaka, so then Seinol Yachal Achsebo, he can't get out of it. Damarle, because Reuven can just say Chayzi the Kitri severs their kiblos, right? You bought a bag of knots, which basically means you blew it, right? You didn't take a lien, you didn't take a guarantee, you didn't take a chrayis when you bought the field. So therefore, right? If you lose it, right? You lose it. Meimazai have a chazaka. What's a chazaka? The Gemara just points out. When he walks around the borders just to make sure that everything is intact, then it says, some people say, some people say that even, right, if there was a chrayis on the shtar, because Reuven can, meaning that, and therefore Reuven can say to him that you can't back out of the sale, because Reuven can be like achsi taraf, or what is that? What is that? Tarpach? Tarfach? I don't know. Asi achavi tarfach v'ashalim lach, right, maybe show me the fact that they're seizing, right, the fact that they're taking this field away, and then I'll pay you. Meaning, it's only a sikin in this case. It's only people claiming it wasn't Reuven's. Okay, so once that's proven, it's fine. Then we'll go to Beis Din and we'll deal with it. But until then, right, you can't necessarily back out of the sale. Itmar, it was said. Right, again, similar case, right? Sure enough, he sold on the Brooklyn Bridge. Right, he turns around, the field was never his to sell. So what do you do? Right, and then Levi comes and says, hey, that was my field. Right, and he goes and takes it. So Rav Amar Yishlomos Vishlo Shvach. Again, we said we're going to talk about this. Right, Rav says that Shimon, who bought the field from Reuven, let's say, right, can say Reuven should pay him not only for the field that he lost to Levi, that, you know, paying him $100,000 for a field, it turns out it wasn't his, but also for the Shvach. If Shimon did some sort of benefit, if he kind of improved the field for whatever reason, in whatever way, he's allowed to get his money back for that as well. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, no, Mosh Yishlo, but Shvach ain't low. He gets paid back, yeah, for the $100,000 he paid for the field, sure. But for the Shvach, for the improvements, if he built a barn or whatever, that he does not get money for. Ba'minim Rav Huna, the Esther Huna, perish lo the Shvach mao. What if, right, part of the star was that, again, they probably should have realized this, like, you know, when he was selling it to them, but part of the star, Reuven promised that if the field gets taken away by somebody else, quote-unquote, right, probably should have backed out at that point. But okay, let's say Reuven promised that he would pay him for the Shvach. And then it didn't turn out it wasn't Reuven's, it was Levi's, and then he lost the field. And then the question, does Reuven, according to Shmuel, again, obviously Rav says you pay him regardless, but according to Shmuel, it says you don't pay him for the Shvach, right, is, in the case where he said he would, does Reuven have to pay Shimon for the Shvach, for the improvements? Time of the Shmuel, Mishum Dolo Perish. Shvacha, right? Is Shmuel's reason is because they didn't improve it. But here he basically said explicitly that he would pay it. Meaning, is Shmuel's reason that it wasn't explicitly stated and therefore he doesn't have to pay? Oh, Dilma, maybe time to Shmuel. Shmuel's reason is that Kevan Sin, the less like Karka, Mexican Caribbean. Since there is no Karka here, right? There really was no land, right? He paid him $100,000. What happened? Shimon gave Reuven $100,000. Good. He thought he was getting land, but there wasn't. There was no land. Reuven didn't own land, right? It was really Levi's. So what happened? Shimon gave Reuven $100,000, and now Reuven's giving him back $100,000, and he's giving him another $20,000 for the barn. But there's no real land here. It all belonged to Levi the whole time. So therefore, Mexico Ribis. It looks like Ribis. Fascinatingly, right? That Shimon gave him Reuven $100,000, now Reuven's giving him back $120,000. That's Shmuel's reason why he doesn't get paid for the Shvach. So he said back to him, in, yes, Falav, Rafi, Biode. In Velav, right? Yes, no, Rafi Biode, he's hemmed and hawed, he wasn't sure, right? And he didn't give him a real answer. Itmar, who said, Amr Nachman, Amr Shmuel, Moz Yeshlo, Shvach, Ainlo. And so they actually quote Shmuel straight up that he gets back, again, he gets back the most, the money, not the $100,000 for the field, but not the shrach, not the for the benefits, for the improvements. Aval pisha perish lo as a shrach, even if that's explicit in the start. My time and why is that? Again, like we said, the second way of learning, came in the karka Ainlo schar maos of omeid venotel. Since there's no land here, right, looks like he's just, you know, wheeling and dealing with his money, and it looks like he's getting ribbis, etc. Ezra Rava la Rav Nachman. Rava asked on Rav Nachman, Ein motzi anachilas peros l'shvach ha-karos l'mazun isha b'habanos. We'll go through and explain what this is in a second. Minichasim mishibadim v'pnei tikkun olam. Right, we don't collect for any of those things because of tikkun olam, because of people don't know, right? And there's a, like a bottomless pit. It's like a mamish, like something that you know, you'll end up paying for now and forever. And so therefore, because it's going to mess people up legamre, right? So we're not going to allow you to pay from nechasim mishibadim, from properties that has a lien, just to translate those things, right? Those things, lachilos peros, right? For produce, if the produce was eaten, right? Produce of the field, the shvach karkos, for the improvement of the land, for the mosin ishan abanos, if someone owes money, right, to kind of support the wife and daughters or whatever, the divorce, etc. So we don't allow those payments to come from nechasim mishibadim. Ba mishabdei hudlo mafkinan, right? But you do pay from property that is no lien, right? Anything that the guy has on hand, right? Cash, etc. And one of those examples is the shrach karkos. You pay for the improvements of the land. So my, right? Lav belokech megazlan. Isn't that our case where the guy bought it from someone who didn't actually own it, and you do pay for shrach karkos? That's against Shmuel. Someone says lav balchov. No, it's just talking about a regular case of balchov. Well, balchov, right? Somebody takes a field that that you couldn't pay back. Guy comes and takes a field, right? So it's not that's not going to be what's it called? That's not mechsi keribis, and therefore, right? He would pay for pay for the shvach, the improvements. Right? If his gemara says 1 second, be balchov, but if we're talking about a balchov, guy, when the guy just owed money to, couldn't pay back, he takes the land, right? Emoration. What about the first part? Emotzion lachilas peros. Right? We don't allow him to take nechazim mishbadim for produce that was eaten up. Viva Balchov. Balchov is the peri. Balchov doesn't get produce. He doesn't get produce from the field. Amar Shmuel Balchov goes a shvach, shvach, and all the peri is low. Right? Again, when a guy comes to collect the field, he collects the field. But he doesn't collect, right, the produce. They can't be talking about a case where it's just stama Balchov. Someone says, Ela pshita, but goes over in exile. Must be talking about where it was stolen, and then it was sold. And then we're talking about it, right? That's our case. And that's against Shmuel. When we the ratio goes over in exile, say for now, if it goes over in exile. So too, the second part of the Mishnah must be talking about a theft, right? And that's against, what do we say? That's against Rav Nachman Shmuel. That's against Shmuel. This guy says, "Meet the area." What do you can't say? Why is that? Why is that? What do you mean? Just because the ratio is one way, the safe is automatically the other way? How could these? Maybe it's one case is about a balchov, one case is about a ganav. Says, "Hello, Tani Haki." But what do you mean? We have a brisa that's about this. The shvach karkos ketzad, right? How do you pay for shvach karkos, for improvements? If someone improves a land that's yours, how should guzzle? So the mechavero, someone stole a field from his friend. Very he yotzeis mitachas yado, and now he doesn't have it anymore. Meaning the kshu gova when he collects it, meaning when he collects for the fact that the fact that he lost the field. So gova is a karen minachasim mishibadim shvach gova minachasim benichorin. Right? He collects again. Here you see that he collects both. He collects, right, the $100,000 and the $20,000 for the barn. Right, what's the case? Elaim, because the Tani, if you'll tell me that it's like we said exactly the brisa, gazal imam gavi. Right, pay attention. What's going on over here? Hey, she gazal sadu bechavero, her yotzi mitachas ladu, and now he loses it. So when the gazlan collects, he gets the keren and he gets the shvach. Right, if you tell me the price is accurate, so what do you mean, gazlan imam gavi? Who's a gazlan collecting from? He doesn't get money for the field. No, it must be lavshe gadol. Lavshe gozal sodem mechaveru machra l'achav ishpicha. It must be our case where he stole something, a field from somebody, and gave it to somebody else. The other guy made it better, etc. So Malay said, "No, I said lo terutz lav terutzi kometaretzas." Right, you're already changing the brisa to as it is, right? To say that it can't be a gazlan, right? I mean, it must be a case where somebody sold it to somebody else. So therefore, taratachi b'balchov. You can just change the whole language of the brisa and say that it's not about a gazlan at all. Another kasha. Yeah, we can stop here by the Tashma. We'll stop here. We'll go right to the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you are listening to this. We'll continue tomorrow with Hashem by talking about this sinyan.